It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.
And of course, that means I'm not alone. In studio, I am joined by the founder and CEO of Bizval, Graham. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Saki. We're doing well, thanks. And getting used to the rhythm of a two-weekly slot, I think. Although 2 weeks feels like a week. I don't know if it's just so busy, but good to be back again today.
Yeah, and as always, we cannot wait to find out what's happening today. So talk us through that.
So I think we mentioned a few weeks back that this year we hope to showcase a number of local businesses and entrepreneurs during the year.
Yeah.
And particularly local entrepreneurs are making an impact both in their communities and beyond. So today we're going to be chatting to Serge Rymakers. He's the founder and CEO of a remarkable organization called Abalobi. And so some of you might have heard about them already. But it's a social entrepreneurship and impact business that seeks to improve the livelihoods of small-scale fishers globally, but obviously very focused within the Western Cape. They use a combination of technology and touch to connect fishers to marketplaces and various other things. And not only are they making a massive impact locally, but I don't know if our listeners know, but Abalobi was a finalist in the Saving Our Oceans category. Sure. In the Global 2023 Earthshot Prize Initiative. So that's an event which is sponsored and advocated by Prince William. So it's really a massive event. Yeah. And I'm sure as a Christian radio station, many of our listeners can appreciate the symbolism behind fish and fishermen. Mm-hmm. Both from a discipleship perspective and also in terms of feeding thousands, Yeah. So I think it makes this discussion quite apt. So without any further ado, and hopefully all the sound checks, because Serge is dialing in from an Oceans conference at the V&A, I'd like to thank Serge for joining us today.
Good morning. Good morning, Graham. Good morning, Saki. Thank you so much for the invite. Can you guys hear me loud and clear?
Fantastic. Yes.
So, Serge, I think
great.
For those of you who haven't, for those of our listeners who haven't heard about Abalobi, would you mind just, firstly introducing yourself briefly and just spend a couple of minutes just telling the listeners about Abalobi and what Abalobi is.
Thanks so much, Graham. Well, I've got to say, I really loved your version and your introduction. I think you summarized Abalobi really well. But let me try from my side. So Abalobi means fisher in Isi-Xhosa. It means traditional fisher, artisanal fisher. And it's the name that the fisher communities or the fishers that we were working with started giving to the program a couple of years ago, as it took hold within the lives, the livelihoods of the fisher communities, and they started owning the journey of what Abalobi is today. But in a nutshell, what are we? We are an organization. We're based mainly in Cape Town, although we operate along a large chunk of the coastline. And we are an organization that is trying to support the country's small-scale fishers to do things differently. Differently in how they potentially engage with government around fishing rights, around rights allocation, around fisheries management. Differently in how they engage with conservation and marine protected areas and the protection of our natural resources. And I'll unpack those a little bit later on, of course. And then differently at how they unlock their own entrepreneurship, their own social entrepreneurship, and lift their fisher communities out of poverty on a journey towards sustainability. So we support fishers with a lot of skills building program, with tools that help fishers collect really valuable data that they use to apply for fishing rights, that they use to apply formal financial services, that they use to engage with the market, to engage with you and I, to engage with the marketplace.
Fantastic, Serge. And, with that bit of background, can we take a step back to the beginning? So when did Abalobi start? And, you've touched on a few points, but what was the sort of impetus and the reason behind starting Abalobi? So let's go back to the beginning, Serge. So can you talk a bit about when did Abalobi start?
But when Saki left, I stopped hearing you. So you started at, let's take a step back.
All right, we are back in track.
The new studios are great, but obviously a couple of glitches. Yeah, so I think let's go back to the beginning, Serge. So when did Abalobi start, and what was the impetus and the reason behind starting Abalobi?
Yeah, let me zoom out. So I've spoken about small scale fishers. What do I mean by that? I think let's start with that. So globally, I imagine that all listeners here know about fisheries, and I know about fishers harvesting marine resources in our oceans. Broadly speaking, there are two categories. There's industrial fisheries. Think about large boats that are extremely efficient, that fish with big nets, that trawl and catch, for example, our hake. And, you know, think about industrialized mechanical fisheries. I'm not working with these fisheries necessarily. Abalobi is heavily focused on artisanal small-scale fishers, fishers who fish for livelihood. They've been fishing for generations. Many fishers I speak to say they have salt water running through their veins. You know, there's a massive cultural connection to their fishing operation, and it's often very place-based and near shore along our coastline. Now, let me give you some stats. There are about 500 million small-scale fishers around the globe. They feed billions of people around the world, okay? And at the global scale, provide 40 to 50% of anything that's caught in our oceans. So basically, they're the largest group of ocean users, providing livelihoods, food security, spiritual and cultural connection to millions.
Sure.
In South Africa, we have a large sector, ironically, of small-scale fishers, where we have a rich history from Cozy Bay in KwaZulu-Natal all the way to Port Nollet at the border of Namibia, of fisher communities that are eking out a livelihood from our oceans, that have been living there for generations, that are going out whenever they can, that have a deep connection with the resources, with the ecosystem around them. So where did Abalobi start? You know, I'm a fishery scientist, and I'm passionate about trying to understand how our ecosystems are faring, what's going on in our ecosystem, what are the challenges, what are the issues, how do we get, you know, a fishery, or how do we improve, you know, the ecosystem and the fishery as a whole. And of course, you know, if we want to do this, we need to partner with small-scale fishers. We need to tap into their local ecological knowledge. We need to elevate their position in, you know, in their livelihood and in the stewardship of our oceans. And that's really what spearheaded Abalobi. How do we create a support mechanism? How do we create a platform that changes the playing field, that levels the playing field, that reimagines how you and I engage with seafood and how you and I engage with the small-scale fishers along the coastline?
Fantastic, Serge. I mean, I think that's a really, really helpful background and context, you know, but I guess this is a business show. So, you know, while Abalobi, and I'll use the word, is impact-led, so it's around improving the lives of fishers and people in the ecosystem, it's not a pure not-for-profit business, and you don't rely solely on donations to survive. So, and sustainability is obviously a key underpin of what Abalobi does. But can you briefly explain to our listeners how Abalobi actually makes money, and how the different contributors in the ecosystem, from the fishers through to the end users, how do they contribute? So if you can just spend a few minutes just touching on that.
Yeah, I'm glad we're diving straight into this topic. Because, of course, as a fishery scientist, I'm interested in data. I'm interested in working with fishers on fisheries rebuilding. But we can't look at fisheries rebuilding if we don't also focus on economic empowerment. They go hand in hand. And so Abalobi is a social enterprise. Abalobi is a market intermediary that is run by fisher communities and fishers along our coastline, where they're trying to build sustainable businesses alongside the social and ecological impacts that makes Abalobi. What does that mean in practice? We run a digital marketplace. We run a platform that connects thousands of fishers with chefs, retailers, home buyers, like all of us here in the room and many of our listeners, and any other kind of buyer in between that is interested in buying directly at fair prices, transparent prices from small-scale fishing communities, harvesting amazing different kinds of resources throughout the season. So we are a connection point. We are a window into what fisher communities are harvesting and fishing for every day, with opportunity for you and I to purchase that directly and know exactly who you're purchasing it from and what you're paying for. How do we make business? How do we make money? Sure, you know, we're a disruptor in this space, and we've been trying to build a model that is very different to the current way many fishers and buyers and you and I are buying seafood. So we had to look at an initial runway of working with philanthropic funders, with institutional funders, to get the show on the road, to build the model, to iterate and get to a space where this could be, you know, a bit of a flywheel and start being self-sustainable. But all along the way, from the get-go, we were trying to figure out, well, at one stage or another, we got to build something that's self-sustainable. We've got to build something that can fund its own growth. And so Abalobi as an organization charges a margin, a very transparent transaction fee in the marketplace, where when you place an order on our marketplace, on your invoice, in your ordering process, you know exactly what was paid to the fishermen that go out to sea, what was paid for the fisherwomen that process the catch, that do a lot of the quality control, that do a lot of the packing, and what goes to Abalobi to make sure that the fish arrives at the door, to make sure that we can maintain the traceability and we can drive that impact. At the moment, 78% of the price that you pay on the marketplace goes to the fishing community. Wow. Now, that's radical. That's what we call value retention or value rescue. That's flipping the supply chain on its head and making sure that it's not the middleman taking the lion's share of the price of what you'll pay, but it's the fishing community. That creates socioeconomic breeding space, that creates an opportunity to start unlocking the entrepreneurship of the fishing community.
Wow, Serge, I mean, I think, yeah, as you say, you're flipping the model on its head, you know, and I think, I can't remember offhand, I think you shared some stats, you know, in the ordinary fisheries chain, I think the fishers only get anywhere between 15 and 20%. So it's almost a fourfold increase in terms of what the fishers are taking home. Would you mind maybe just, you know, talking a little bit about how Abalobi's actually impacted the lives of the communities that it supports, you know, so... You know, who gets impacted? How many fishers have we actually improved? You know, maybe even the supply chain and food security. Maybe just share some of the sort of stats and some of the, you know, the impact measures that that you've seen from Abalobi.
But you know, I can manage. It's just a little bit weird to listen to myself. But from an impact point of view, you know, we obsess about impact. We're trying to rebuild fisheries. We're trying to restore and get fisheries on a different track, a track towards sustainability, which means that from the get-go, we needed to be very careful on measuring our... I've lost you all now. Okay. Yeah. So we needed to be quite careful on how we measure positive impact and potentially also unintended consequences. Fisheries are usually complex. So I'll invite each listener who's interested in fisheries and who's interested in impact to go on our website, and literally on our website, you'll see a little button at the top that says impact. And when you click there, you can see in real time, it's updated every 24 hours, some key KPIs, key metrics from a social, economic, and ecological point of view that we track to measure how Abalobi is growing. What are the big ones? What are the big ones, Graham? For us, food security is how we start it all. You know, how do we make sure that the fishermen, fisherwomen, the fishing households that is engaging with this program, that is onboarded on this marketplace, that is trying out this journey, how do we make sure that in a short period of time, they move from a situation of being often very food insecure, not knowing where the next meal is going to come from, to a situation where they're food secure? That's a non-negotiable. That's the starting point which we can build other things on. And so at Abalobi, within 3 months, Fisher households moved from a situation of being food insecure to now, I think our stats are at 88% of the households linked to the Abalobi Marketplace program are food secure.
Sure.
That's radical. That's the starting point. Mm. There's no other way. We can't even start talking about conservation and fisheries rebuilding if we don't get that right. Yeah. Of course, it's also not just about the household that is engaged in the program. It's about the broader coastal communities. And so we've built a marketplace that allows us to look at all the different layers and not just channeling the fish to a medium or upper income bracket of society, but also make sure that there's fish accessible, good quality protein accessible in fishing communities. And so we ran a massive food security program. I think we're sitting now at 80,000 meals to food insecure households in the coastal communities where we work.
Sure.
Those stats are real time on our website.
Sure.
The next one, of course, is income. How do we make sure that as the household becomes food insecure, they can start building on their income to look at savings, start saving off, paying off potential debt, and start reinvesting in their business? Within the Abalobi program, fishers earn 2 to 3 times more what they would have earned without the Abalobi program, and that we independently verified. Of course, that's a major incentive for fishers to join the program. And, you know, we have quite a waiting list, and we're onboarding fishers almost every week, every day. The next one, of course, for us, we've spoken about some economics one and some social one, but there's a few other important social ones, and that's the role of women. You know, in the Western Cape, at face value, when you look at our fisheries, you would think it's a pretty male-dominated environment. Mm-hmm. Fishermen are on the boat. Fishermen go out at sea. The buyers at the harbor are men. Well, let me tell you that women in fisheries play the most significant role in this whole operation. But up until recently, that role is invisible. That role is not recognized. That role is not remunerated. Fisherwomen are up before the fishermen go to sea and go to bed after the fishermen come to bed to manage not just the households, but all the pre-fishing and post-fishing operation. And they're not remunerated.
Sure.
We have a massive issue around gender equality in fisheries. So how do we tackle that? What's Abalobi's role in tackling that? And so the role of women to make sure women can be paid the same way the fishermen are being paid, driving change in this fishery. We're driving women to earn fair price also for their role in the fishery. Those are big indicators. Those are big impact indicators.
Sure.
And last but not least, because I could talk about this all day, of course, ecological piece. Well, how does that all link with fisheries rebuilding and conservation? Okay. Because they're intrinsically connected, but how does it link? For us, you know, the starting point is food security. The next layer is economic breeding space and an opportunity to have a conversation with fishers around conservation, around what's going on in our fishery. What are the points of concern here? And then work with the market, work with you, work with the chefs to literally build appetite for undervalued, ecologically more resilient, more abundant species. And so that's what Abalobi, you know, where Abalobi got connected with the Urchard Prize is that we worked with a fishing community or with various fishing communities along our coastline over the last couple of years to take them from a position where they were harvesting species that were overfished because they thought that's what the market wanted. That's what they could get a price for at the harbor.
Yeah.
We've worked with them and the market on shifting that fishery to now sitting at a space where 97% of what we're catching is sustainable. That's radical. We've literally merged socioeconomic impact with ecological impact and proven that we can rebuild the fishery, we can replicate this model, and we can start doing it elsewhere.
Fantastic, Serge. I mean, I think we're struggling with load shedding and internet connections there, but I think we're getting the gist of it. And you know, I think what you're saying there is it's about smart choices when it comes to buying fish,
yeah.
You know, doing a little bit more research, understanding what the impact of your choices, and there are, you know, opportunities like Abalobi to make smart choices when you buy your seafood.
Yeah.
Serge, a couple more questions before we wrap up. We've got about another 5 or 7 minutes. So, you know, I think two that I want to focus on, you know, as a social entrepreneur, and this is, I guess, you know, directed towards you, what have been some of your biggest challenges personally in terms of building Abalobi? You know, it's Abalobi's been going now, what, since 2017? So it's almost seven years now. So, you know, over that period, what have been some of the big personal challenges in terms of building, you know, this entity?
I don't think we've had unique challenges, but we face challenges all the time. You know, building a social enterprise is no linear journey. It's a rocky road with a lot of ups and a lot of downs and some magic moments along the way that you hold on to and that you use to build the next leg of the journey. And maybe realizing that it's not smooth sailing, it never is. It's hard work, but it's very rewarding work, I think is our biggest challenge, but also our biggest reward. And then maybe more practically, you know, how do we always balance runway with team culture, growth, taking risk, but also focusing on the basics and driving consistency? There's no recipe for that. You know, you got to be in it and operationalize it and live it every day to try and get into a little bit of a rhythm around those things.
Perhaps, Serge, I mean,
optimistic, Graham. This is hard work. This is, you know, social enterprise driving social and ecological impact. It's, you know, it needs to move beyond an ID, and you need to do this every day. And remaining optimistic and holding on to these stories you hear from fishing communities, for fisherwomen and fishermen that are upgrading their lives, that are in a much better position now, that are unlocking the stewardship of our oceans, that is key.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So maybe one challenge, if you can just touch on it briefly. So I don't think our listeners are aware. We all, COVID in 2020 was a big challenge for all of us. But maybe you can touch just briefly on how that impacted Abalobi and, you know, how we had to respond to that. So, you know, I think, you know, prior to Abalobi, maybe just for context, is most of the buyers of Abalobi fish were restaurants. Mm. And what happened with COVID is all the restaurants shut down. So maybe just in like 30 seconds, Serge, how did Abalobi respond to that challenge?
Okay, brief is not my forte. I'll try. So as you said, you know, on the 20th of March, 2020 or something like that, when we hit lockdown, all these restaurants closed. Many, unfortunately, never reopened, and we had built an entire business or startup on the back of connecting fishers directly with chefs. So we had to pivot, of course. And so our starting point was, okay, can we connect with the people that go and eat at those restaurants that are sitting at home that maybe want to support us? And so we got an exemption to be able to run our operation during lockdown. And we literally went from working with 350 restaurants to working with 6,000 home buyers and delivering directly to their homes, which was a radical journey. Where, you know, from an operational point of view, we had to think about our model totally differently. But it was a good thing. It, you know, it allowed us to better connect with our customers. It allowed us to think hard about how do we build resilience in our marketplace and how do we create a more multi-layer, multi-market place that doesn't just connect with restaurants, but also connect with restaurant chains, with retailers, with distributors that we're working with now, and everybody in between.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think that's a good example of a crisis that actually resulted in the business becoming more sustainable, further reach, and even from a product point of view, moving from purely fresh fish to frozen packs and those sorts of things that you can store and keep for longer. So, Serge, I think the last question to you is, you know, we spoke a little bit at the beginning about the Earthshot Prize. And this is obviously a huge accomplishment for, you know, the fishing communities that are involved in the program. Would you mind just sharing briefly about the Earthshot Prize, the experience, and, you know, maybe even talk about, you know, what that means for Abalobi going forward?
Thanks, Graham. Yeah, for listeners who don't know too much about Ertshot Prize, it's 3 years old, and it's the brainchild of Prince William, who's really trying, like many others, to stimulate a more positive outlook on how we are tackling the biodiversity crisis, climate change, and overall sense of doom and gloom. And so it's rapidly become the most prestigious environmental prize around the globe. And last year, a couple of organizations nominated us and thought, hey, we potentially have a good shot at this. And we did. And we went all the way into the final and went to Singapore to tell our story and tell our journey of how a group of South Africans and South African fishers are trying to rebuild their fishery, restore their fisheries from the ground up, and by bringing different partners along the way. So we might have not won the actual prize, but we won, Graham. We won the recognition that what we're trying to do is important, that there's merit in what we're trying to do, and that we need to keep going. And so the enthusiasm, the recognition of the pride of the small scale fishers we work with is being absolutely massive. The cherry on the cake is that the Ertshot Prize this year, the awards and the whole week, it was in Singapore last year, it was in Boston the year before, but guess what? It's in Cape Town in November. And so that's massive. That's an opportunity for not just Abalobi, but for amazing South African businesses and social enterprises and organizations to tap into that network, tell their stories, amplify their stories through Ertshot Prize, and we're going to be playing a key role there. We want to make sure that it's not just Abalobi and the Abalobi fishers telling their story. There'll be a lot of that, rest assured, but that we can use that network and that platform to tell all sorts of amazing other South African stories that are driving change from the ground up. And we're looking forward to that. So if anybody in the audience is keen to tap into that, please reach out to us. You can find us very easily by just Googling our names. And let's start chatting, because this is a big event. This is a global audience with a massive South African focus, proudly South African focus, and we're excited for that.
Sure. I love that. I really love that. Serge, you've been absolutely amazing. But before I let you go, you know, it's really fantastic, Graham, to see how local businesses are making such a global impact. Now, for those who just caught our conversation at the tail end, how do our listeners find out more about Abalobi, and also how can they access the app?
Thank you so much for that question. Well, it's really easy. You go on Google, you type in Abalobi, and everything from there will happen. We've got a website. You can also go on the App Store or the Play Store. You can download the apps. The Abalobi Marketplace is probably the one that most listeners will want to download. From there, you register and we'll be in touch with you.
Fantastic stuff. Great.
So closing thoughts from me. A big thanks to CCFM team again, and thank you to Serge for joining us today. I know you got a busy day down at the Ocean Conference at the waterfront. And I think, you know, business is not just about making a profit to make the owners rich. It's about making an impact and supporting an ecosystem. So I think Abalobi is a great example of a business that strives to do both. And I look forward to being back in a couple of weeks' time, and we don't have the topic yet for 2 weeks' time, but we will in the next few days, and look forward to joining you guys again in 2 weeks' time.
It's been a pleasure once more. Thank you so much. Again, thanks to you again, Serge, for taking your time out. But as Graham mentioned, he will be back in 2 weeks' time. So keep it locked as we just wrapped Business Made Simple with BizVal.
It's Business Made Simple with BizVal, exclusively on In Season.